Okay, let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Let me share my screen. Okay, Revelation chapter 13. Now, we ended last week, last Sunday, learning the personalities, the five personalities that we saw in chapter 12. Number one, we saw the women of Revelation chapter 12 is the nation of Israel. The second one is the dragon, which was Satan. The third one, the man-child, Jesus Christ. And we saw the fourth as the angel Michael, who is the head of angelic hosts and the offspring of the women, which are the Gentiles who come to faith in the tribulation. And some Bible scholars also say that this could be also the 144,000 that have been sealed. Today, we will look at two of the personalities, and these are wild beasts that comes out, one out of the sea, which is the Antichrist, and the second one is the beast out of the earth, and this is the false prophet who promotes the Antichrist. So Revelation chapter 13, we have come to mid-tribulation, which we reached in chapter 11. However, as you look at these personalities have already been in existence during the time of the tribulation. And we will see, starting in verse 1, it reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy." So we see this is Apostle John. He's now on earth and he's standing on a beach and we see a beast rise up out of the sea. Can you imagine Apostle John? He might have been amazed at what he saw. He might have been frightened at what he saw because he saw the beast, and this beast had seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, he saw the names of blasphemy. Got a little picture here. Let me see if I can expand that picture a little bit. And this is the beast that came out of the sea, and he has got seven heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns. And we will see this next beast that comes out of the earth, which is a beast with two horns. And we will look at that when we come to that verse there. So we see John is standing upon the sea. Now, the Jews was very frightened about the sea, mainly because the unruly nature of the sea, and also because of the wild nature of the sea, and they didn't like the waters of the sea. Now, King Solomon had a navy, and I just put a comparison of the U.S. Navy. Of course, it is no comparison, but however, and Solomon had a navy. The reason why I'm talking about is, do you know who the sailors were in Solomon's navy? The sailors were not Jews. The sailors were from the kingdom of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. And because the Jews refused to go out to the sea and they didn't want no part to be in Solomon's navy. And we can see that in 1 Kings, there's a portion that tells us about Solomon's navy. And the other thing is, imagine if the U.S. Navy today and the U.S. People, men and women, do not want to join the army, and they employ men and women of another nation, say, imagine the Chinese, that would be the worst thing that could happen for the U.S. Navy. However, I guess Solomon's Navy did okay with their situation. And so we see, he says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And this explains the wild nature and unruly nature of this beast. And I say it is wild because look at the picture that we see, a beast with 7 heads, 10 horns, which means one of the heads have more than one horn, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy, which means all the heads have this word blasphemy because the heads is in the plural here. And so we see that. So what does it explain when he say this beast has 7 heads and 10 horns? Now, to understand this a little better, we need to go back to Daniel's prophecy. See, the understanding of the prophecy of Daniel is important for the understanding of Revelation. So this wild beast coming out of the water is the same in description as the fourth beast in the 7th chapter of Daniel. You see, there it represents the prophetic history of the Roman Empire down to the little horn and its destruction. That fourth beast seemed to become dormant for a little while, and then out of one of the 7 heads, there came up 10 horns, out of which came up a little horn. The little horn puts the 3 horns together and was able to take the other 7. It defeats the other 7, controls them, and this little horn becomes a dictator. Now let's look at the heads. You see, at the timing when John, Apostle John, was writing this, much of the prophecy of Daniel had already been fulfilled. You see, the first 3 beasts, Babylon, the lion, Medo-Persia, the bear, and the Greco-Macedonian, the leopard, has been fulfilled. So I have this picture. You probably would recognize this picture. So the head of gold is Babylon, and that prophecy was already fulfilled. And so also, which is the lion with the wings, and then the breast and arms of silver was the Medo-Persian rule, which was the bear, and then the belly and thigh of brass was Greece, which is the leopard. And so when we go back here, we see these 3 beasts, their prophecy has already been fulfilled at the time when John is seeing these vision. Here, John concentrates on the fourth beast and the little horn, because the fourth beast, which is the Roman Empire, has appeared already. John was living at the time of the Roman Empire, having been exiled to the island of Patmos for his testimony of Jesus Christ and for his witness and for the word of God. And he was exiled because Domitian, the emperor of Rome at that time, did not like him to be talking and preaching about another God, because these Roman emperors, they thought themselves as a God and they wanted to be worshiped as God. And so he didn't like John preaching that, and so exiled him. So we see in the book of Revelation, the concentration is on the little horn of Daniel 7. And the little horn is set before us as the wild beast that is now coming out of the sea, and he's now ruling and controlling the revived Roman Empire in John's prophecy. Now, this, we don't see this today, but we see this fractured Roman Empire is coming back together. We know that the European Union, or this confederation of states, they have a total of 27 states. There were 28 states in all. And if you remember, Britain has got out of it, as we know and heard about Brexit, and their Prime Minister Johnson has negotiated their exit from the European Union. Likewise, there's a lot of changes that is going to happen in Europe. And for those that are interested in prophecy, it'll be worth watching what Europe is doing. And also, I might have mentioned this earlier, the relationship between the two powers in Europe, namely Germany and France, they are not having good relations because of problems and tensions because of certain policies. So the little horn of Daniel 7 and the beast of Revelation 13 are the same. So let's go ahead and look at the seven heads. The seven heads that is described as this beast has, it's very difficult to identify what these seven heads mean. In Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10, they are identified as seven kings. Some Bible scholars has even mentioned these as seven Roman emperors, and that could be part of the seven great empires of the ancient past, which also blaspheme God. Example, Rome, Greece, Medo-Persia, Babylon, Egypt, and Assyria. The kingdom of the beast would be the seventh kingdom. I've got a list of them here. This is the revived Roman Empire, starting from the bottom, number seven. The Roman Empire during the time of John, Apostle John, where he was exiled by Emperor Domitian, the time before the great empire of Greece, we see, which is represented by a leopard. And then we have Medo-Persian, which is a bear. These clumsy bear, they walk slow, but they kill swiftly, but slow in action. And then, of course, the head of the lion, Babylon. And that was one of the nations that took Israel into captivity. And before that, we see Assyria did the same and took Israel into captivity. And we know that Israel, the children of God, spent many, many years in Egypt in bondage. So these are the seven heads and four kingdoms that we see here. Now, it also describes about the 10 crowns. Let me see if I have a description here. The 10 horns with the 10 crowns speaks of the 10 divisions of the Roman Empire of the Great Tribulation. So this will be the time of the revived Roman Empire. The horns are the 10 kings who rules the 10 kingdoms. Of course, these are a little complicated, and we do not know who and which are these countries, but these are mentioned as 10 kings that have 10 kingdoms. And we see the little horn, this wild beast that comes out from the sea, comes to power by first putting down three of these rulers out of the seven, and then he dominates the other seven kings and becomes the world dictator. Now, fortunately, we won't be here during that time, and we will be with Jesus at that time. Now, when we look at verse number 2, and it says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." So this beast, "and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Let me put up a picture of this beast. He is wild, isn't he? Looks wild. Look at the face of a lion, and with all the horns that we see, the different heads of the beast. And this has the appearance of a leopard, the spotted leopard. And look at the feet of this beast, which appears as a feet of a bear, and feet of a bear, and his mouth as that of a lion. And then it describes that this beast, which is Antichrist, is given his power by the dragon. Who is the dragon? Satan. Satan is the dragon, and the Satan is the one that gives him the power. And it says his seat, he is the one that will be ruling and dominates the revived Roman Empire, and he will have great authority. There will be no one that will question the power of the Antichrist. And that is because Satan gives him that much power to control the events of the earth. But we should remember that power is being given because God allows it. Nothing happens in this world without the power given by God and the permission given to this Antichrist and even Satan to do what they want to do. God is giving them a free rein at this time. Now, this Antichrist, we may call him as Antichrist, but when you read the book of Daniel, we see he has different names. And one of the names is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, which we just mentioned. And then when you go to Daniel chapter 8, he's known as the king of fear's countenance. And then in Daniel chapter 9, this Antichrist is also known as the prince that shall come of Daniel. And then chapter 11, it talks about the willful king of Daniel. And then this Antichrist is the son of perdition, means destruction, ruin, and eternal damnation. The man of sin, the lawless one of 2 Thessalonians. Now, looking back in verse number 3, when you look at verse number 3, it reads, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." As you look at this, this is amazing. Of course, in this picture, it doesn't do justice to the words what is being said in the Bible. Here, it looks like the head is separated. That's not the picture that we see. The head was wounded. Even if that head, something serious happened, imagine this beast has six other heads. So they are very much alive. They are very much still powerful. And it says, "I saw one of the heads that was wounded to death." So it had a deadly wound, and his deadly wound was healed. So so the world, the people of the world, they wondered about this beast, and because the dragon was the one that gave the power for this healing to happen. But I need to stress on the fact that the dragon cannot, or Satan cannot, give life to anyone. I think I have a slide relating to that. And you see, a lot of people in this world compare and think that the Satan is equal to God. And let us never think of that way, because Satan is just a subordinate of God. After all, God created Satan. And if you want to compare Satan to someone else, it would be in the likes of Archangel Michael. And we saw that they did have war in heaven, and Michael the Archangel defeated Satan. So Satan can be defeated, and he's no comparison to God. In fact, anything that Satan needs to do, he needs to get permission from God. And I have another slide talking about what he needs and the permission he needs to do anything in this world. You see, the two scriptures that I've mentioned above here, Revelation 13:3 and Revelation 17:8, has led many to believe that Satan actually raises the beast from the dead. First of all, I want to mention that this beast had seven heads, and one of the heads, a wound of it, is not enough to say or claim that that Satan has raised him from the dead. You see, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And this is verse 8 of Revelation 17, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. I will explain that further when we come to Revelation 17 on this verse. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can raise the dead. And so I was looking for a verse, and there is a verse in John chapter 5, 21, 25, and 28 and 29. I like to read that verse. The Gospel of John records these words spoken of by our Lord: as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear him shall live. Marvel not at this, he says, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Again, stressing on the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can raise the dead. Satan cannot. He does not have the power to bring anyone back to life. Therefore, this restoration was a fake resurrection. And only Christ, as I mentioned, can raise the dead, both saved and the lost. Satan has no power. He is not a life giver. He is a devil, a destroyer. So this is very important as we look at that. And then I've written a few points: the extent of Satan's power. He's not definitely equal to God or opposite to God. He's subordinate to God. He cannot tempt anyone without God's permission. He cannot influence nature without God's permission. He cannot physically harm anyone without God's permission. He cannot kill without God's permission. He cannot give life to anyone. In fact, Satan needs the permission from God for anything that he needs to do. And another important thing is, he cannot force believers to do anything, which is a very important thing that we like to know. And then as we go to verse number 4, and it says, and they, who is the they? The people of this world, they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. So they were so impressed with the news that came out that Satan raised up the Antichrist, or this beast that was slain. And it says, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto this beast, who is able to make war with him? So the nations of this world, which is this picture is in a nation in China, And they worship the dragon. It's not Satan, but the dragon is their main source of worship, although they are not supposed to worship anyone besides the Chinese Communist Party. But the dragon, the Chinese, their New Year festival is a festival of the dragon. And here we see that worship. And they worship Satan, you see, the dragon. You see, we think that this is just in the coming in the new, in the great tribulation period. No, Satan worship is already here. Here, look at this. This is in the USA. If you look at the picture below, this is the statue of Satan, which is already up in several states. I know there was an issue when they put this up in Oklahoma. They have something like this in Massachusetts that is already there. And Satan worship is already here. We don't have to wait for Satan worship during the Great Tribulation. It is during the time that we are living. There's also Satan prayer that has been heard in city council in Alaska, where they brought the Satanic Temple people and they prayed before they opened the city council. This is what is happening in our nation today. Satanic Temple, the US government has officially recognized the Satanic Temple as a religion. Satanic Temple has earned the same tax exempt status as a church like ours by the Internal Revenue Service. And the Satanic Temple headquarters is in Salem, Massachusetts. And their co-founder is Lucian Greaves. So Satan worship is already here. It's not anything that we have to look forward to or will come in the future. It's right here. I also read some time back that in Houston, there was a place of Satan worship. And I heard that there was one of the, I don't know if this the mayor or someone else that was leading that Satan worship over there, but I don't hear any news anymore. Then as we read in verse number five, and it says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. See, when you look at this verse, it shows, and power was given unto him, unto Satan and the Antichrist. By whom? By God. God is giving this power. God is letting them know you can have 42 months, which is 3.5 years of rulership, of power. You can do what you want, full reign. And I'm just thinking one of the reasons is so that Satan, when he is in the lake of fire, cannot talk to God and say, you didn't give me a chance. But here, chance is given. And he is going to do all he can to control this world. And he will for the 3.5 years. But after that, he is going into the bottomless pit. And see what he does. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy in verse number 6 against God. And he blasphemed his name, God's name, his temple, and them that dwell in heaven. Guess who is dwelling in heaven? It's us. We are there. We, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been raptured up, we are there in heaven. And he is talking bad about us, blaspheming God's name and the tabernacle of God and those that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. These are kindreds and tongues and nations are the nations of this world, different groups of people with different languages, and all of the nations of this world, he was given power. He was given power to make war. And so we are going to have a lot of problems during the trouble, during the tribulation time. And if you remember, one half of the world, of the people of this world, was already killed by the time we came to mid-tribulation. We saw those numbers of dead that was, we calculated to be about 3 billion people of the 6 billion that we started with. That is an arbitrary number just to get an idea of the power of Satan and what he is doing. Verse number 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, this Satan wants everyone to worship him. If you don't worship him, he will kill you. And who are the ones that will worship him? Yet it is those that that their names are not found in the book of life. That's what it reads. And it says, if any man have a ear, let him hear. That's what he says. It's very important. If any man, meaning it's an invitation by God to hear the word of God. It's for any man and every man to hear the word of God. And we all have ears to hear, but many do not want to hear. If you tell them, we like to speak to them about Jesus, quite a few will walk away. Quite a few will tell you that they don't have time for it, or they are not into it. But little do they realize, when they stand before the great white throne judgment, they're standing before the same Jesus who they have received, the who has they have denied during their life on this earth. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If any man has a ear, let him hear. In verse number 10, he said, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed by the sword. Now, this is something sometimes hard to understand. He's saying that if you work for Satan and lead others or take others to Satan or give them the influence and lead them away, then you will be led into captivity also. And if you kill someone with the sword, you must be killed by the same sword. Now, this has an additional meaning, and that there is no hope in fighting against Antichrist. This is during the Great Tribulation. The only way of victory is steadfast faith and endurance in Jesus. That's what we read that in verse number 10. The only way of victory. You see, during the Great Tribulation, during the rule of the Antichrist, if you do not follow the dictates of the Antichrist, they will kill you. And that's what they say. Let me go on. Verse number 11, it says, and I beheld another beast. So we have finished with the beast coming out of the sea, which is Antichrist. Now another beast is coming. And it says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. See, this beast that is coming out of the earth, he is depicting as a lamb. He is copying as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But look at what he does. He speaks like the dragon. He speaks like Satan. He speaks like the Antichrist. And in verse number 12, he says, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We see this happening at the mid-tribulation period when they would put an image of the Antichrist in the temple of God in Jerusalem and demand that they worship this beast, this image, and this beast that comes out of the earth, which is the false prophet. He will make the people worship this beast, which is Antichrist. If they do not, then he will kill them. And this is the time when the Jews realize that the seven-year peace treaty was a fraud, because at 3.5 years, they canceled that and they defile God's temple. And that's what is happening here. Got a picture of the lamb-like beast. Is he a wolf in lamb's clothing? And very well depicted here. This is another picture of the lamb that looks like a lamb coming out of the earth, which is the false prophet. You see, the false prophet is the Satan is anti-father, antichrist, and false prophet is the anti-Holy Spirit. Let's look at the next verse. And he doeth great wonders. Who is he? The false prophet. Great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He impresses the people of the world by calling down fire from heaven. Who do we know that has called down fire from heaven? Of course, it was Elijah, right? And here he is doing the same thing. He is so impressive because he can do a lot of miracles. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Verse 14 reads, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And look at verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, this life is an imitation of Jesus Christ being resurrected. He's saying that he gives life to this beast. He puts an image in the temple of God and the image of Antichrist. And that Antichrist, that image somehow speaks. We can have things made and speak, because robots and with AI, artificial intelligence, today we can do that. And I suspect that this is what they have done. And they demand the worship of the people of this world and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is when the masses of the Jews, countless amount of Jews, they run away and they flee into the wilderness to hide from this. And then he that causes all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So if you want to trade, if you want to buy and sell, or if you want to do anything of importance during the time of the Great Tribulation, you got to take the mark of the beast. That is the number 666, okay? Imagine if we at our workplace, they tell us that you need to take these things here, like a chip into your hand, then otherwise you cannot be employed here. There was some news that they are going to put a chip into the arm of people that have taken the vaccine, and so that when they go through, the machines can identify that you've already received the vaccine. I think it is just a conspiracy theory. I don't think they will do that, or many people may refuse that, but there's still talk about that. This is a picture of inserting the chip into the hand. This is, of course, the right hand. And this one here, it looks like it is the left hand, but the Bible says the right hand. Got an x-ray of the right hand. It is a nice x-ray. We see the chip lodged inside here. Of course, these have got a lot of good benefits, and they will sell you on the benefits, because if you have a chip, you can go through with these machines, especially if you are employed in a big corporate company. You just scan your hand and go in. Or if you want to buy things, you can do that. And I like this image here. Man, this guy is hurting. He is crying loud. It has been put in his left hand. Another picture, Swedish commuters can use futuristic hand implant microchip as train tickets. If you know, in Europe, there's a lot of train travel, and if they have the chip in there, they can just pass through so much easier than the others. So we are cautioned not to be tempted by this, but the good thing is we won't be living and going through the great tribulation, and so we would not have that problem. Now the question is, if in our workplace today we are asked to take a chip, would we do it? Of course, this is the QR code that is in existence today, and all our products are scanned with a QR code, and that's what the world is going to. So the technology is already there, and soon we may also have digital currency, because the US dollar, the value has gone down and going down. So the question is, would you get a microchip embedded in your body for a job? So that's a question that we all have to answer. And we have to pray that we will not be subjected to all of the devilish things that has been talked in the Bible. Let me close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for teaching us and warning us and telling us about these personalities that we have studied in the chapters of 12 and 13. Father, we pray and thank you for the promise that you are a sovereign God, one that controls, and that Satan cannot do anything to us, O Lord, because we are thy children. Father, we pray for protection. We pray for thy guidance. We pray for all thy mercies and grace, O Lord. Bless each family that are here this evening, O Lord. Bless them and take care of them. And Lord, we thank you for this study once again. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen.